In the tree-covered forests of Pennsylvania and the northeastern United States lurks a monster described as being of so sensitive a nature as to shed tears if its feelings are injured. Once the thing of lumberjack legends, this squishy, soft-hearted cryptid has moseyed its way into all of our hearts. If you find yourself in this beast's preferred habitat, the sounds of winds whistling in the woods may not be the wind at all, but instead, this creature's tearful wails. This week's episode is The Squonk.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
You ever heard of legends like Paul Bunyan and things like that when you were a kid?
Yeah. Big old Paul Bunyan.
Fully thought it was real.
And didn't he have a blue ox?
Named Babe. You should know.
Babe?
You say Babe all the time.
Babe the blue ox. That's right. Yeah, I know. I've never associated with that. Usually it's the pig.
That's
when
true.
When I think of the name Babe for an animal. Giant pig. Reboot, Paul Bunyan, and Babe the Pig. But the size of Babe the Ox.
I want to watch that remake. It's like Babe's baby that like grew up to be that big. Damn. Or what makes, I don't think you can make a blue ox with a pink pig. So like a giant purple pig that's.
Wait a second. Do you mean like if Lucifer and a pig mated?
That's it. That's how big the blue. And it's just got the most veiny grundle you've ever seen.
Oh my gosh. Veiny and pink.
Throbbing.
Purple, I guess. Pink and blue make purple.
Throbbing grundle. That is a children's tale we all need to write and be a part of.
You know what? So, it will teach us a lot.
It'll teach us a lot. So that was a tall tale is a great thing. If you know that it's not true, but I'm so gullible that I, for like a hot minute, too long, arguably, I was too old to be like, well, of course he was 30 feet tall.
So is that why you thought they were called tall tales?
Honestly.
Because he was just tall?
I was like, oh, tall tale. It's about everyone that's tall. They're like, well, really, sort of a stretch of the truth. But a lot of times they're like, it was the most enormous thing I've ever seen. So it does have to do with, you know, if lumberjacks are sitting around a fire and they're all going to exaggerate. They're going to exaggerate about how big the wood was or how big something was.
It's like anybody telling a story.
It was
catching a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seeing a bear. I think it all gets a little bigger
every time
the tale goes on and on.
Yeah. Your hands get a little bit further apart each time.
Mm-hmm.
While this cryptid is up in the northeastern United States.
Well, then I guess I'm moving to the northeastern United States because you know what? No. I'm going to let the squonk be.
Yes.
I just want the squonk to know, if you're listening, that I deeply relate to you and I think you're beautiful.
I think the squonk is beautiful too. It bums me out to think that the squonk has any self-worth problems or doubts because this is a beloved cryptid. Not only have we been asked a million times to cover it, it's on the internet. You know, people make memes of it. They make fan art of it because it is relatable because I was squonking last night, if I may be honest.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, what you do on a Monday?
Monday.
What's today? Tuesday?
A wild Monday night.
With Paris. That's y'all's business. So
it was one of those.
Or by yourself, you know?
It was one of those where I was, you know, you're kind of in like a bummed out mood. And I kept going, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then I just started sobbing and crying. And it came together that I had heard a song that made me think of my dad. And it was one of those, like, grief is not just a one, you know, my dad died in 2017. It's not just a one-time thing. And I, having researched the squonk, I'm on the couch just sobbing. And I'm like, it's okay. You could cry. You probably won't dissolve. And I didn't. I'm still here because I'm
a squonk. You're still there. I also sobbed yesterday.
Why did we hang out?
While going to the bathroom. That is not while I was sobbing. I was doing my favorite thing while I go to the bathroom, which is scroll TikTok.
Yeah.
And I came upon a TikTok that was also about loss and grief.
Aww.
And I urge everyone, if you haven't, to listen to the interview with Stephen Colbert and Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper is an atheist. Stephen Colbert is a Catholic, and they've both lost parents and had significant loss in their life. So they were discussing that. And Stephen Colbert, who I have decided, you know, when they asked, like, what are, if you could have your perfect dinner party, who are like three people you would have, he would be at the table.
Certainly.
Because I have never seen him speak an unkind word about anyone. You know what I mean? He's just like so eloquent and so kind and thoughtful and funny. But he speaks about grief and being appreciative for your life and how if you want to be appreciative for your life, that is all of your life, grief included. And he lost two of his brothers and his dad in a plane crash when he was 10, which like severely impacted his life. And he was telling Anderson Cooper, I, of course, you know, wish that had never happened, but it did. And like, that is part of my life and my grief. It's allowed me to connect with other people on a deeper level, especially when it comes to grief and loss, because unless you've experienced that firsthand, it's kind of hard to like empathize. So he said it's made all of his relationships from like his kids, his wife, his friends, colleagues, deeper and more meaningful because he's kind of embraced all of that. So I came out of the bedroom and I was sobbing and I was like, I'm fine.
It was just Stephen Colbert. He's
like, what just happened? And I was like, it was a TikTok, which happens quite a bit that I just emerge crying because I've seen a TikTok. Yeah. So all that to say, we all got a little squonkiness where we're just feeling down, need to cry it out. We didn't dissolve.
No.
Had I could have slid under that bathroom door and reemerged on the other side. So still would have been okay.
The squonk is this. I like the secret world of Alex Macking that the squonk is doing where you just liquid down and go under the door. Well, I'm glad to know it's I'm in good company with not just the squonk, you, Stephen Colbert. We are all allowed to have feelings. And I think that's probably why so many people love the squonk so much, because it's like, I just want to walk around a forest and get it out and cry. And it's like, it feels
for real in the moonlight.
Real fucking
yes,
good.
Please.
In the forest. We're about to be in a forest here in June. We're going to be in the Muir Woods as we drive from San Francisco to Los Angeles. San Francisco will be there on June 7th, LA on June 9th. I don't imagine we're going to cry much in the Muir Woods. I think we're going to have fun, but
I think we will. And I think we'll have a lot of fun at our show, the Full Moon Energy Tour. It's been such a blast. These shows are going to be super fun. I have family that'll be in the audience on LA, so that's always fun.
Aww.
And yeah, tickets for both shows,
tight,
if not sold out or almost sold out. So if you want to get your tickets to see us on the West Coast in just a couple weeks, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows to secure yours now.
If you miss them, you'll be crying like the squonk we're discussing today. But
we'll have to try to get you in a sack before you dissolve.
The old squonk sack. Well, this is like I said earlier, everybody's been asking us to cover it. So we dove in and did our research. But I was like, I want to consult a cryptid expert because, and by consult, I mean listen to their podcast. Because our friend M from And That's Why We Drink, I feel like, is an expert on all things cryptid and paranormal and in that vein. And so I found where they covered the squonk and I thought, okay, maybe M can direct me. First thing they say is, there's really not a lot of information about the squonk. And I was like, yeah, I know.
It's an elusive creature. You know what came in handy?
You got your guide.
One of my five copies of the Compendium of North American Cryptids and Magical Creatures, the official Magamundi guide. This came in real handy.
I want to say it's Magamundi because I don't want to say Magamundi.
Magamundi?
I just didn't want to say MAGA.
Let's say
Magamundi.
Oh, MAGA. Yeah. That's like the real southern way of saying MAGA.
So
we'll say MAGA, which is probably is because magic.
Mm-hmm.
Magamundi or Magamundi, whatever. It's all made up books. So, you know, whatever. I don't even know if that's a real word. It could all be made up.
Feels good.
This book is very funny, though. It's very tongue in cheek and funny. And it has little footnotes that are kind of look like they're handwritten. And there's little jokes and fun stuff throughout. So
would recommend.
Highly recommend picking yourself up a coffee if I don't have them all, I have like five copies.
Thank you to everyone who loves to give us this book. We love it. And now we can give it to other people because we have multiple copies of it.
Yeah. Well, joke's on me because this one started to come apart. And luckily, I've got several more.
There you go.
So if it falls apart, I got backups.
When it's like, have you ever gone through a reference book so often, like the physician's death reference or the federal rules of civil procedure?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I wore out my Majimundi book of cryptids in North America. I wore it right out. I ordered online, because of this episode, three different very old books about cryptids, legends, and tall tales, because I just kept seeing reference to them. And it was like, this was printed in 1967. I'm like, I bet I could go find that on the internet. So we'll have some weird old cryptid episodes coming up, because I'm real excited about these, going through these books. And like you said, it's fun because it is all made up, but it's based on something. I mean, they heard some weird sound in the woods that made them say, they're hearing a squonk.
Or they... toxic masculinity at its finest, and they don't want to admit that one of them was missing their home. They had to go out in the woods and cry about it, and everyone else was like, oh no, that's not Daryl. Daryl's a man. That's the squonk.
What if they created the squonk to protect each other so they could have their emotional time out in the forest and be like, if you go out there and try to catch it, it's going to be gone. And by the time they get out there and the guy's like crying, they're like, are you crying? He's like, no, the squonk squirted its tears on me and it disappeared. Isn't that weird? Go. Damn. We cracked the code. Well, episode's over. That's what we think. See you later. No, there's so much to this. There's so much to this squishy little baby.
I love him so much. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. The squonk was initially cataloged by William T. Cox, State Forester of Minnesota, in his seminal book, Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods with a Few Desert and Mountain Beasts, published in 1910. The book was dedicated
to the Conticated Order of Hoo-Hoo and all who know the Fellowship of the Woods. I like to think we're members of the Conticated Order of the Hoo-Hoo, and I for certainly know the Fellowship of the Woods. 36. I know my fellowship.
You got fellowship?
By this time, mostly in college, a little bit in my 30s. I'm good now.
What does the Fellowship of the Woods mean? What's that?
I thought it just
code for
chasing dong.
Oh,
no, I think he means lumberjacks. He means lumberjacks. I was saying.
Oh, OK.
I was
never heard that metaphor, but I will now use. Hey, y'all going to the bar tonight to
join us
to join up in Fellowship of the Woods, which is the nerdiest way to say, are you looking to hook up?
I mean, I was in the Fellowship of the Woods. I wasn't like successful.
You were lumberjack adjacent, but
I was hunting, but
you
not.
Weren't getting logged.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Got it. Got it. A state forester, Cox spent time in lumber camps where loggers traded tales of outlandish experiences they had in the woods. Though there was not definitive proof of any creature's existence, Cox still endeavored to catalog each of the beasts, preserving their whimsy for future generations. He based the descriptions on direct information from those lumberjacks who had seen the creatures for themselves. One of these creatures was the squonk.
My favorite part about William T. Cox is that when you look up stuff about him, it'll say, the state forester of Minnesota. He was the first one to hold that position because they had such lumber mining that they needed a person whose entire job was to oversee preservation and not over forestry. Like, they, you know, you didn't want to over log and strip the whole state. Well, he got crossways with some of these logging companies. And then when a new governor was elected, who had been kind of elected by with some support from the logging companies, Cox was out on his ass.
Damn.
And he's like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm going to write a book about cryptids.
About mythical creatures.
Take that.
Written by Foxfire Castella and annotated by Wynn Diego, the Compendium of North American Cryptids and Magical Creatures classifies the squonk as a large rodent, nearly 2 feet long and weighing 20 pounds. Native to the eastern coast, its wrinkly body is covered in moles, boils, and pustules. Two long orange buck teeth protrude from its sad mouth, making the beast appear to most as a grotesque and nasty creature.
It's kind of a... increased version of a naked mole rat, like a hopped up version of a naked mole rat.
Yeah, some artist rendering. It kind of looks like a pig and a mole rat had a baby. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then that mole rat lost a bunch of weight and its skin was just real saggy.
Was left over
on its body. Yes. According to Cox, The squonk's skin is
misfitting,
leading the squonk to weep in sorrow and even avoid reflective surfaces so that it won't see its own hideous reflection. Sparsely covering the creature's ill-fitting skin is stringy, mangy fur. An ever mournful look upon the squonk's lopsided face, its eyes constantly produce tears, even while it's sleeping, which produces an unpleasant whining sound. Adding insult to injury, squonks are also in danger of being hunted and captured because they leave behind tear-stained trails everywhere they walk.
Man, who amongst us hasn't produced an unpleasant whining sound as we cried ourselves to sleep?
I mean, you know.
I'm rewatching season 4 of The Office, the one where Pam and Jim go and stay with Dwight at his bed and breakfast.
Such a good
and
one.
He's broke up with Angela, so he's just in there going, and Jim opens the door, is like, what is that noise? He's like, I'll check in the morning. And when the door closes, he's like, and that's what I imagine a squonk sound sounds like, is Dwight mourning Angela.
Isn't that also the episode where his cousin is in the outhouse and it's just slamming shut that door?
That sound. Pam's like, I'm going to go look. And Jim said, you're going to go out there? And she's like, yeah, coward. And then she just mows pants around his ankles. And she goes, what century is this?
That's such a good episode.
Michael Schur is so fucking good at everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. But that's the sound.
Also, you know, it's hard to not leave a, it's like a snail leaving a little trail. Your tears are just everywhere.
They don't come off.
No.
My cousin and aunt told me the other day, as we were at our Taco Bueno party that my family has almost every week, they were saying that if you touch a snail, it won't come off your skin. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. You told me that. I'm spreading
rumors. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
My cousin's like a scientist.
I mean, eventually it will.
I guess. Everything
washes
off.
People touch them all the time, so at some point, but it probably leaves a shimmery residue.
The old squonk trail in the forest.
I always picked mine up by their shells. I never got the body part. I mean, I've had a snail, like a garden snail, crawl on me, and it does leave a little mark.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, what?
I just realized.
You believed it again?
No, I mean, it's right. Everything's right. Y'all are right. I was envisioning when they were telling me about that snail, and literally until you said I picked it up by its shell, I was envisioning slugs. So,
slugs are like snails without their shell.
Okay, well, there we go. Anyhow, snail trails, squonk trails, they're all the
slug
same.
Slug trails,
slug
whatever.
It up. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Cox gave the squonk a taxonomical name in his book,
Lacrima Corpus Dissolvens,
meaning dissolving the body of tears. This refers to the creature's defense mechanism, as Cox wrote that a squonk
may dissolve itself in tears
if it found itself cornered and unable to escape. Dissolving into a puddle of its own tears isn't all bad, though. Liquid mobility allows for the squonk to reform once the danger has passed, oftentimes in other locations from where it was captured. However, the Compendium of North American Cryptids and Magical Creatures warns that if the tears containing the dissolved squonk are separated into even smaller pools of tears, the squonk can perish, remaining dissolved in its own tears for eternity.
That's the tough part. If a squonk is in water when it cries too, that would dissolve it into a whole pool. But if there's enough squonks, I wonder if you can make a mega squonk.
Oh, mega squonk pool. Mega and then squonk. Maybe they could all come together for pool time and it's like a blob, you know, where you can like in the
just
lake,
party.
They've got those blobs. You just run and jump on them like a big old trampoline kind of.
You jump on the squonks and they're all crying and you feel bad. Like, oh, they're crying. It's like, they just do that. It's fine.
It's fine. They love it. It's fine. They cry no matter what's going on.
Not
like,
personal.
Oh, okay. Hard relate.
Right.
Not everyone appreciates the squonk's ability to easily move about while liquefied. Squonks are herbivores, their favorite treat being magical herbs, making them a nuisance to nearby farmers who are unable to keep them from slipping through their garden gates.
Here we go. The squonk is just racking up things that it relates to us for. My favorite treat is magical herbs.
I love magical herbs. I tend to cry even when there's really no reason to.
My skin can be saggy and weird sometimes. In some places.
Sometimes.
I'm fine with it. I don't mind my own reflection. I don't cry into it unless I'm already crying. And then I go in the bathroom. I'm like, do I look that rough? Yeah. The answer was last night, at least it was yeah.
The squonk's like, yeah, that's why I avoid all mirrors and reflective surfaces.
Anything, even water, they don't want to look into. I'll just walk it straight into it. But I imagine, yeah, if you're a farmer and you go out to find your magical herbs have been pilfered and it's just a tear trail, you're like, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. In the years after Cox published his book, Squonk and the rest of Cox's wild beasts made their way into newspapers across the country. Soon, folks from Long Beach to New York and everywhere in between knew of these fearsome creatures stalking the woods of the United States. A 1912 article in the El Paso Herald titled,
Wild Beasts That We Know But Little About,
relied upon the expertise of Cox and the writings in his book. This list included references to the dangerous Snollygoster and the Slide Rock Bolter, as well as the Squonk, a beast described as
entirely harmless, though very curious. He made quite a list in that book.
I have a postcard of a Snollygoster that came in one of those cryptid box sets that Tommy got me once.
I just love that it's still around.
It's one that I hadn't heard of, you know? There's so many of these things out there.
That's because there were just lumber dudes back then going like, it's a, you know, it's a roperite. It's a hoogag.
Yeah. Here's one of those slide rock vultures.
Here's some Wapaloosey.
Yeah.
Cactus cat, normal. Whirling wumpus. Wimpus.
Is a cactus cat a cat that has cactus things coming out of it?
I believe the cactus cat is the one that when it runs at a tree, it crushes it. Which, been there. I mean, it explodes the tree.
Huh. Not a cactus. Any tree?
Well, actually, I'm mixing it up with the, there's another one that busts up trees. The cactus cat has thorny hair, okay. Long and rigid thorny hair with a branched tail. So it has
kind of cactus-like, it looks like a, yeah, I get
spindles
it.
Okay. All over itself. Yes. Yeah, so it's a sharp and pokey cactus cat that likes cactuses. I mean, you like your own kind.
Yeah, though that's true. Yeah, they're like, oh, you look like one of me. Speaking of cacti, I bought one the other day that has a little card in it that was like, I'm a huggable cactus. And it's special cacti that don't have pokies.
So then if your children run up and grab it with full force, they're not
devastated. Yes, they can hug it if they'd like to.
That's awesome. See, maybe they make cactus cats like that too. Those are the domesticated cats.
Yeah, that's originally... cactus cats. Then we all domesticated cats. Them, got all the needle, kind of like, you know, wolves. Well, although wolves and dogs are different, right? Those aren't the same. I think the wolf is a wolf and a dog is a dog.
I think they splintered off from a common ancestor many millions of years ago.
Or maybe I'm thinking of a coyote. A coyote is its own thing. A dog is a descendant of a wolf.
Kind of like a chicken's a descendant of a dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is right. Could I Google it? Yes. Am I going to right now? I'm not. So if I'm wrong, just think it. Write it down. Put it in the trash can. You don't got to email it to me.
It's their special filing cabinet, which is a shredder. I'm just kidding. But that's, again, another Office reference because I've been rewatching The Office. But we've got to get back to the very serious scientific business of discussing the squonk. We have time. We have no time for wolves and coyotes. Mm-mm.
Cox explained that the squonk was most commonly found in the hemlock forest of Pennsylvania, referring to the prevalent hemlock tree, the Quaker State's official tree. Hemlocks provide coverage and protection for all manner of life in the forest, helping cool the area in the summer and protect the ground from snowfall in the winter. Squonks are perfectly at home under this dense coverage, as they are nocturnal and travel mainly at twilight. Another hard relate, also nocturnal.
That's true. Oh, they're lining up. Like to hang out at night. Oh, they're all there. Again, you see why this is, I think, stuck around for hundreds of years now. Well, almost 100 and some change years. Because we all feel it. Whether you're a lumberjack in 1910 or whether you're a kid on Tumblr today, you're like, fuck yeah, I feel that.
I feel that. We can all relate to that. Sightings of the squonk dated back before Cox's book, at least to the 1700s, when colonizers came to Pennsylvania and encountered the area's beautiful flora and fauna. One pioneer, named Master Harmon Beck, had settled on a piece of farmland near a hemlock forest in the central area of the state. According to the Dunn County News, the Beck family was disturbed by the same eerie sound each night as they sat down to dinner.
From within the forest, an eerie wailing noise floated through the air. The weeping was not like a baby's cry. It was not like a bellowing calf. It was an unearthly sound.
After the family endured the sounds for a time, they could no longer take it, describing it as
nerve-wracking.
One night, fed up, Master Beck slammed down his fork, grabbed his shotgun, and headed out toward the source of the sound.
This is one of these where we do the research and write the outline, and it isn't until we're on the air out loud that Master Beck sounds different than it looks written. My bad.
I didn't even think of that.
You were like, Master Beck, Master Beck, Master Beck, can we, Master Beck, excuse me, Master Beck.
I'd like to go just by Harmon, if everyone's okay with that. Can we just, I'd like a name addendum. I just want to go by Harmon. I was thinking in my head, Beck, the artist, and was laughing thinking about Beck in the forest at dinner.
Now,
real pissed with a shotgun. Just headed out into the hemlock
with his I just like imagine 90s to 2000s Beck with kind of like the old Jim Halpert haircut, kind of like he had like must hair and kind of a pouty mouth, just like I'm gonna go find this squonk. Like, thanks, Master Beck. It's just
he's like, it's Beck. I sent a memo. Please read it.
That is why this celebrity singer Beck goes only by Beck. He had to drop Master Beck.
Yeah.
He was getting booked for shows that...
Yeah, that he showed up and they were like,
why do you have a keyboard?
Why are you dressed? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, did you not...
Oh, is it part of it? You can take it off. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Under the cover of lush hemlock trees, Beck saw it.
Leaning up against a large rock was the ugliest creature he'd ever seen. It was about the size of a dog, but its skin sagged and bagged as if it didn't fit right. The eyes were large, bloodshot, and tears poured from them.
When Beck raised his gun to put the creature, who he believed was weeping due to injury, out of its misery, the squonk cried harder. Its tears covered its warty body, and soon the whole animal disappeared. The Beck family weren't the only ones to allegedly have a run-in with the squonk. In 1912, the El Paso Herald published the harrowing encounter of J.P. Wentling of St. Anthony Park, Minnesota, who had previously resided in Pennsylvania. The paper printed his encounter.
Wentling had a disappointing experience with a squonk near Mont Alto. He made a clever capture by mimicking the squonk and inducing it to hop into a sack in which he was carrying it home, when suddenly the burden lightened and the weeping ceased. Wentling unslung the sack and looked. There was nothing but tears and bubbles. Please stay tuned for Beck's new record, Tears and Bubbles.
I honestly feel like all of this is kind of on brand with Beck. And like feeling like you need to, you're an outsider, fit in. You're just kind of trying to find your place in the world. Isn't that what he's been singing about for a long time now.
It's all of his music. I'm trying to remember $10,000 right now, Heather. This is for the championship. Name one song.
Can you name a Beck song?
By Beck.
Shit. I had it and now I've lost it. Hold on.
Somebody's screaming right now.
Oh, so many people are screaming right now. And guys, we know. Hold on.
His last record was
good.
Don't look.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
In my head. It was very popular in high school. Wait.
Name that tune.
Damn.
There it is.
What is it? Just tell me.
I feel like a big blank because I couldn't remember.
Loser.
There it is. I will say.
See? That song. It relates to the squonk. I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me?
You can't, because I'll dissolve into tears. We just have made so many connections.
What are other Beck songs?
I was gonna say I really like his 2017 record. Colors is really good. His top five on Spotify are "Loser," "E-Pro," "The Valley of the Pagans" featuring Beck. So that must be it. "Night Running," "Nocturnal," "Night Running," yeah. And "The Devil's Haircut," which is what you look like when all your hair gets shaved off and you look like a big ball sack walking around. So it's all, And E-Pro, the squonk has gone totally mainstream on the internet. So it's like an E-Pro, like email, E-whatever. It's an E-Pro.
It's all of those.
The song I was trying to think of was "Up All Night," which is off of the 2017 album Colors. And it's just a really good song. I recommend it.
Oh, wait.
It. But how up does all that night, go? The squonk is up all night.
The squonk is up all night. He's nocturnal. See?
That's my fave Beck song.
Is Beck the squonk?
Beck is the squonk. I think we figured it out.
Are you gonna play?
I can
up all night. I know that I know it, but I can't think of it.
Let me see if I can just find the chorus. So it's like that.
Yeah,
I just wanna stay up all night with you. That's the squonk.
One of my weaknesses is recalling song titles, movie titles, actors, whatever, in a pinch.
Yes, you have
to. I'm not good at it.
I'm better with anything that's a movie or actor or face. I can usually picture, but something like that where it's like out of thin air, think of a thing. I can't believe "Loser." I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, but no, I feel like a bit of one because I couldn't think of it.
It all fits with a squonk. Damn.
That's what I'm saying.
Conspiracy. Sinisterhood will be right back.
The squonk's prevalence even inspired a poem printed in publications across the country in 1912, titled
"Pa's Hunting Trip,"
which read,
"My pop and me played hunters, and my pop told me the name of every beast we killed, and we sure shot some awful game. We got a squonk behind the door, and then we got a wang, and pop nailed Bill Dad's by the score whenever I'd say bang. We killed big winks beneath the bed and squiddles in a trunk. And then Mama come in and said to Pop, 'You brute, you're drunk.'" I also love, we're both comedians, as a connoisseur of comedy, fuck yeah, to Pa's Hunting Trip of 1912, that it's still funny.
Stands the test of time. Oh, I got it, and then we got a wang. Because wang also has an H, so I'm not sure what it wang. Is. And then Bill Dad's by the... What are all these things?
Bill Dad is in William Cox's book. Do you want me to look up Bill Dad in the Cox book?
Bill Dad and the Cox sounds like a Motown quartet, and I'm here for it. Yes, I would like to hear what a Bill Dad is.
It says it only occurs in a one pond in Hurricane Township in Maine. It's about the size of a beaver, but has long kangaroo-like hind legs, short front legs, webbed feet, and a heavy hawk-like bill. Its mode of fishing is to crouch on a grassy point overlooking the water, and when a trout rises for a bug, to leap with amazing swiftness just past the fish, bringing its heavy, flat tail with a resounding smack over him. This stuns the fish, which is immediately picked up and eaten by the Bill Dad. It has been reported that 60 yards is an average jump for an adult male.
Wow.
It's a big old beaver.
Yeah. Get yourself in the Olympics. One of those long jump contests. You're sure to win.
Playing for the United States, a Bill Dad from Hurricane Township, Maine. And it's like, eh.
They're like, it oh,
won.
This
it won.
Guy, you don't even know. He's unstoppable. He can jump 60 yards in one leap. And he fucks.
And he fucks. He's a big old beaver. And he fucks. Cryptid Olympics, where the cryptids all come together. Nessie's there and doing a swimming with Champ. We have so many cryptids from around the whole world. They could all come together in the spirit of teamwork and unity.
Oh my gosh. Where are they going to be hosted?
We'll decide. Stay tuned for our 2022 tour, Sinisterhood Cryptid Olympics.
May I make a recommendation?
Please.
The moon.
Done.
Why not? I feel like Earth, not magical enough to hold all of those creatures in one place. We got to go to outer space.
We're going to outer space. And we'll bring the Wang, the Bill Dad, the Winks, and the Squiddles. They're all be
bringing
there.
Them all. We're bringing them all. Just 7 years after William Cox first described the squonk, it was being called
a little known but interesting animal
by news publishers nationwide. Perhaps related, a man named Henry Peel in Anderson, Indiana, reported being attacked by a red, white, and blue squonk on his way home from work in February of 1919. However, the report was included under the headline reading Prohibition Notes and ran alongside the story of a monster snee with 8-foot wings and the tail of a 2-headed whiffenpuff fighting a 6-legged glig at a place called Beaver Creek.
Where else would that happen? If the moon is not available, Beaver Creek's a good
spot. You gotta
second.
Go to Beaver Creek. If you can't see the moon, you gotta go around to the Beaver.
Go on,
Beaver
Creek.
Usually pretty close to each other. Beaver Creek is a real creek, I think, around here.
There's a lot of Beaver Creeks all over the country. I like to pretend.
Maybe I'm thinking of Possum Kingdom.
We do have that too.
Beaver, Possum, similar.
I think Possum Kingdom has jurisdiction over Beaver Creek because the kingdom's bigger than a creek. That's just my opinion.
Jurisdictionally I agree. Speaking. There's also a Toadie song written about it.
Fuck yeah, it's such a good song.
Although, as we'll see, the squonk's been mentioned in some music too.
It ain't just Beck. The squonk is famous.
As the squonk gained more attention, more stories were published about various run-ins. In 1924, Neb Hicks, a lumberjack, claimed to have wagered 1,000 pounds of sterling silver with his boss that Hicks could capture a squonk. On his hunt to prove the squonk's existence, Hicks ran into some good luck. He recounted to his nephew,
"Well, my lad, I'm not out hunting more than 5 hours when I hear sounds like those of a weeping baby. To me, these sounds were the sweetest music I had heard because I knew it was a squonk."
Or it's a weeping baby that has been lost in the forest and needs help.
He's like, "Oh, hell yeah. I love this sound." And it's like the baby's like, "Mama."
Most people walking through the forest, if you hear the sounds of a child crying, either haunted forest, Hansel and Gretel situation. Third option, squonk. None of them are something I really want to deal with.
I'm going to say don't jump to squonk, though, because if it is a real baby, you want to help.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Hansel
I'll
and Gretel.
I'll go investigate, and then once I determine what's going on, I'll decide if I'm going to intervene.
Yeah. There's everybody wants to grab the squonk and hunt the squonk. I think this is a lesson. Leave it be.
Mm-hmm. Leave it be. Hicks followed the animal for 3 hours. He yelped in the style of a squonk until his target staggered into a paper bag Hicks was holding. He took the bag with his prize back to the logging camp, eager to collect his 1,000 pounds of silver. However, when Hicks opened his bag to great anticipation back at the camp, it revealed
nothing but salt water and bubbles.
Again. Womp, womp.
I bet it's because the squonks, if it's backed into a corner, it dissolves and then it can move freely and then come back together. But if it's in a bag and you're walking with it, you're like drip, 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 drip. You're dripping the little parts of the, your sack is dripping squonk juices the whole walk back to the lumber camp.
Yeah, and that's never good.
No, and then when you get there, the squonk has been so dissipated that it can never, all the king's horses and all the king's men, you know what I mean? You can't put it back.
You can't put it back, just like Phil Collins saying.
God damn.
There's a song called Squonk by Genesis.
That song's a jam, dude.
Is it?
I liked it.
I did not like it.
I thought it was a good record. It kind of rocked.
But, oh, I love Phil Collins. If we recall, I demanded that we all listen to Phil Collins in the car.
It's burned into
on
my
the
memory.
Way.
Certainly.
What? Did nobody like my Chicago Phil Collins jam sesh in the car?
Now is a good time because we're here among friends.
Oh, no.
It was just early in the day. But it was good because it did. I didn't expect it, but I also love to surrender to the ceaseless unfolding of life. So I did not wake up that day saying, I'm about to fucking jam out to 80s power ballads this whole time. So my initial reaction was, okay, all right. And then you hear Pete Cetera hit those high notes and I'm all in, baby. Like,
what can
you know, it's like I got invited to a party. I didn't know what the theme was. And I was like, okay, I didn't know we had anything, but this is a vibe, including Phil Collins.
Well, I appreciate you and Tommy suffering through my music choices.
I was vibing.
You were fine. Yes.
I'm always vibing. And then Tommy gave you those Chicago records. You know, he couldn't have been that upset. He would have been like, they don't make any records of that band. They burned them all. Like, you know,
that band broke up and then they got rid of every song they've ever made.
They ran them over with one of those. They used to do that in the 90s, kids. Kids, listening up. If you don't know, they're trying to ban your books. They used to try to ban our CDs because Marilyn Manson was going to ruin everything. And they would run them over with like actual mini bulldozers in like piles and try to burn them.
That
yes, it's so cringy to see all the shit that's going on now. I'm like, you all tried this before, but back then we didn't have the internet to just get our shit. We would get it from our friends, but now we just like have the internet, so like none of that matters. Like yeah. Bulldoze everything you want, we'll just get it online. You
can't bulldoze the internet. Many have tried. Oh, yes, many have failed. The wart-covered being was further legitimized when it was included in American journalist H.L. Mencken's book, The American Language Supplement 1. Published in 1921, the book was intended to formally categorize and clarify differences in American and British English. Though it was mentioned, the squonk didn't get much love from Mencken, who called it
a pathological monstrosity, for it is covered with warts and moles and weeps constantly in self-pity. Maybe that's Mencken. You, Mencken.
I got nothing but beef for Mencken because there's a Mencken in Succession, too, that's a real piece of shit. So,
interesting.
If your name Mencken, get out of here.
Yeah, don't try to. I wonder if they named the character after him because he was a famous journalist and publisher. And Succession, don't they own like a company like the cable? Do they own the news?
They do own the nudes. Mencken is running for president. So he's
I see.
He's not involved with that. Well, he is, but you know. Watch Succession. There's one episode left in the whole series, and I told Tommy last night, I'm gonna be legitimately sad when it ends because it's so freaking good and this season is fire. Go catch up.
I know. I need to watch all of them before it airs.
Yeah. In a 1932 bedtime story printed in the Long Beach Sun, a grandpa named Silas Flatbottom regaled his young grandson with tales of the squonks found north of Walla Walla, Washington. Grandpa Flatbottom described it as
a shy, nocturnal animal, and it has a habit of going through the woods weeping and wailing, much the same as many people do going through life.
When Grandpa Flatbottom initially heard the squonks' cries in the woods, he mistook it for a baby, a terrifying thought given the temperatures outside often dipped to 20 below zero. Grandpa Flatbottom provided his nephew and the paper's readers with more specific information on the squonk, including its size, saying,
they're not much wider than railroad tracks, a squonk being no larger than a seagull and having six legs and five eyes, three forward and two aft of its beam.
In colder climates like Walla Walla, squonks still cry incessantly, but their tears form an ice coat all over them. If the new coat doesn't melt, the weight of the ice becomes too much to bear, and the squonk dies of exhaustion. Grandpa Flatbottom explained,
this is why a live squonk is never seen in captivity.
Grandpa himself tried to capture a squonk and take it home with him in a sack slung over his shoulder, but much like so many before him, when Grandpa got back to his place, he found the squonk had cried itself into disillusion, and he was left with nothing more than a damp sack.
Who amongst us hasn't gotten home disappointed, left with just a damp sack?
Pappy Flatbottom's damp sack.
Pappy Flatbottom's damp sack.
Sounds like a watering hole in the swamps of Louisiana where the locals go to have some moonshine.
They're like, when you get there, Pappy Flatbottom's not going to show you everything right away. But if you ask to see his damp sack, oh, he'll tell you. He'll take you down below.
Mm-hmm.
Down below and let you slurp from the damp sack. Take a slurp from it. It's like when you slap the bag.
Yes. The visual. And no one got to enjoy but me.
You guys didn't see my tongue.
Pretending to slap a Franzia bag and la 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 underneath.
In my pantomime was Pappy Flatbottom's damp sack. That was not Francia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you know.
My bad.
It's okay.
My bad. Some lumberjacks tried capturing squonks in wicker baskets rather than sacks or bags. However, the results were the same. When one hopeful logger opened the top of his wicker basket, he expected to see his captured squonk inside, only to be left with salt water and a few bubbles. He cried into his wicker basket and was quoted in a nationally syndicated column called Tall Tales in 1936, saying,
"I might have known better than to have shut him up in a basket made from the branches of a weeping willow tree."
Two negatives. They cancel right. each other out.
Yeah, maybe he would have thought.
Did they equal a positive?
I think. I heard my fellow volunteer teaching one of the students about adding negative numbers together, and I was like, oh, damn, really? Just yeah. like seventh grade math.
No.
I was like, oh, fuck.
I promise you, if I took a seventh grade math class, I would not ace it. I would learn some, I would relearn some stuff.
You hear, you know, you kind of, I heard some radius, circumference, pi, and then yeah. started hearing integers, and I was like, uh-oh, mm-hmm. there it is. There it is.
Now we're getting into some deep territory.
Yeah, negative plus negative. I think in this case, yeah, they should have, he should not have gone weeping willow. Those are, I feel like a weeping willow is a strong tree, but you're asking for weeping.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
If you were to catch a squonk, think twice before attempting to use the creature for magical purposes. Foxfire Castellaw's Compendium reports that the mangy fur of a squonk will yield negative results when mixing potions. It is said, though, their internal organs and orange buck teeth can be useful in spells and charms. What monster is taking the internal organs of a squonk and using them for a spell? I'm all for spells, and potions, charms.
Anything.
Please leave the squonk out of it.
I think, yeah, if it would be one thing if it said the squonk every 6 months or every 6 years sheds its buck teeth in the forest and you can go and collect them. But the idea of running these babies down in order to harvest their organs and yank their teeth from their heads is offensive to me.
No, it's poaching and I won't stand for it.
It's poaching.
Unsurprisingly, the squonk's tears are its most coveted and powerful attribute. When distilled, the lethargic liquid produces a potent alcoholic beverage. Castellaw warns readers to proceed with caution when concocting the drink. If a batch of squonk moonshine is made with the tears, where the dissolved squonk remains trapped, it will leave a terrible taste in the mouth that can last for days.
So, Pappy Flatbottom only fills his damp sack with the tears of a free squonk. These are guaranteed free squonk tears because yes. you don't want, if you go down the road to, I don't know, Big Booty Judy, what's the opposite of Pappy Flatbottom? Big Booty Judy. If you go to Big Booty Judy, her squonks are trapped. She's milking trapped squonks, all right? When the squonks are trapped, the moonshine's crap, all right? I got free squonks.
You got free range squonks.
Free range, cage free, organic, non-GMO squonks. Pappy Flatbottom does not sell anybody. We're not caging them. We're not juicing them with nothing. Nobody's shooting the squirrels up. I'm sorry, the squonks. We're not doing it to the squirrels
either.
They
got squirrels too, though.
We eat the meat. We don't milk them.
No, it's farm to table.
Farm to table. These are, despite their tears, they're relatively happy squonks, right? They're doing great.
They look sad all the time, but I promise you, they got a whole pasture to roam around in out there.
What do they want? They got hemlock trees. I even planted a bunch of hemlock trees.
I'm giving them everything they can.
That's why you come here, not Big Booty Judy's. Thank
not
you very
Big
much.
Big Booty Judy's. Thank you for your patronage.
Sorry we didn't say Sinisterhood will be right back before Pappy Flatbottom started doing his ad. I
oh,
apologize.
Yeah.
We'll get him next time. We'll get
He's
him next time.
One of our new sponsors. And Big Booty Judy was a sponsor, and she's going to be really upset that we've now gone with her competitor. So there's going to be a bunch of beef between them.
We have to go with what is best for us and our listeners. We can't have bitter squonk moonshine. Never. We wouldn't do that to you.
Our word is our reputation. We're mm-hmm. not going to endorse something that we don't feel passionate about, that we wouldn't drink ourselves.
No, I'm slapping that Pappy's damp sack full of the sweetest squonk juice you've ever tasted. I'll suck it.
I'll suck that squonk juice right out of Pappy's sack every time. Be so good.
You unhinge your jaw and let her rip.
Judy, You get out of here now. You get.
I've noticed you all have been going to Pappy Flat Bottoms.
Yeah, Judy, sorry. We just really can't support your illegal trade of squonks in the Hemlock, Louisiana forest.
My squonks. They're not illegal. Are they trapped? Certainly, yes. I keep them trapped so they don't get away. I put them in aquariums.
Well, Judy, honestly, that was a really smart move, and we all applauded that. No one had thought to keep them in something that didn't have holes in it until you came along.
That's right. We just put straws right in the aquarium and you suck it straight from it.
It's like Razoo's fishbowl.
You all come in, you sit in the middle, we put the aquarium in the middle of the table. That's the Big Buddy Judy way.
We throw a bunch of Mardi Gras beads in there and some plastic squonks floating around, some gummy bears, and everybody just gets a big old straw and goes to town.
Oh, man. Now we're all left with a choice in our lives if we're going to slap Pappy Flat Bottom's damp sack to suck the juice or go to Big Buddy Judy's and go Razoo style around the table. For those of you not familiar with Razoo's, it's a chain restaurant in Northern America that is Cajun themed. And
themed
great.
Is one a good way escape. To put it.
Themed. Yeah, the food Cajun is not Cajun. Themed. It's just themed.
It's food with some Old Bay seasoning thrown on it.
Honestly, technically food. Legally, it's food, but legally, we cannot say it's Cajun food.
No. Yes, but legally, they do have a fishbowl, which is an alcoholic drink that is literally in a fishbowl, and it has all the shit I just said. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras beads, little
plastic gators.
Yeah, shit, and then big old straws, and you all just sit around and drink it.
The thing about it, though, I love it. I love to do that. So great. It's so much fun.
I might go have a fishbowl later today.
Call me. I'll go and pick you up. All right, let's go to Mesquite.
We'll go split a fishbowl. There is a Razoo's in Mesquite.
We're going to go.
Know exactly where it is.
Done. Tommy's like, what are you doing? Heather and I have a work meeting we have to do.
we have a work dinner. Oh, should I be there? No. I think it's just the two of us.
You edit the episode. And when you get to about 50 minutes in, you're going to be like, what the fuck? That's where they are.
Work dinner.
God. Then it's too late. But by then, we're already gone. We're gone like the squonk in the night.
We've dissolved into the mole.
Goddamn.
Go back from whence you came. When Funk and Wagnalls, the encyclopedia company, published its encyclopedia on American folklore, Squonk made its way into the pages among other American legends. It was later immortalized by rock and roll legends when in 1974, American rock band Steely Dan released the song Any Major Dude Will Tell You that included the lyric,
"Have you ever seen a squonk's tears? Well, look at mine." Sorry, this song sucks. I only listened to it once. 30 seconds ago, as we're recording.
I listened to it last night in the bathroom while I was watching TikTok. I know I'm going to catch shit about this, specifically from our dear friend, Laura Goff, who...
Oh, man, she's such a music expert, too.
She loves Steely Dan. I don't like Steely Dan. So I've said it, and this song sucks.
Yeah, until this moment, I could not have sung or told you a Steely Dan song. I just always laugh because one of my favorite comedians used to say, John Neely Bryan is one of the founders of Dallas, also a cephalopod, December 2021 minisode. But his name, John Neely Bryan, this comedian used to say John Steely Dan. So I just assume that's who made Dallas. Like John Steely Dan made Dallas.
John Steely Dan, yeah.
But yeah, just having listened to it right now, not my bag, baby.
It's not my thing, but you know. 2 years later, in 1976, the band Genesis released their album, A Trick of the Tail, featuring an entire song called Squonk.
I like that Squonk is making its way into mainstream popularity.
And when we say the entire song, it's not like the song is just called Squonk and it's about like two lovers passing in the night. It is about the squonk. The entire song is a tribute to the squonk. Phil Collins sounds great. I don't love the song itself, though. It doesn't rhyme, and it annoys me.
That is annoying, but it is Phil Collins' first. I mean, it was the way that he became the lead singer of Genesis, which we learned through our research of this, was that Peter Gabriel was leaving. They were auditioning other people, and there's I'll put it in the show notes in the sources link, but there's an interview with Phil Collins who was like, they asked him to coach the new people, to teach them basically how to sing, help them through auditions. And one guy was really good and was making it through. And they had him try to sing the song Squonk, and he flubbed. He flubbed it up and sucked. And
Phil Collins.
You flubbed the squonk, you can't stick around in Genesis. So they booted him. Phil Collins went in, laid the squonk down, mm-hmm. and he got his gig. So the squonk is for good luck, too.
You know what? I will say that song, having read the lyrics and listened to it, is a very difficult song to sing. So that's why Phil Collins is a goat.
He nails the pitch, the changes, all that. And then the lyrics of it is reasonably, I won't say accurate. How accurate can you be when you talk about a woodland fairy tale? But they do talk about the sack was only a bubble, was only bubbles mm-hmm. and tears left and stuff. So they follow it. Like you said, it's not like it's just called Squonk and it's a love song. They're like, we will write a ballad about the American Squonk. Like, we're Genesis, goddammit. Who else is going to do it? And Peter Gabriel's like, I'm out.
Yeah. Phil Collins like, I'm in.
This is my chance. I wrote the squonk song and I'm going to be the lead singer now. Can I just confess something? I think, have we talked about how I hated Phil Collins a lot when I was in high school?
What?
We haven't.
Why?
Can we take a moment for me to confess something? It's because he was nominated for the Tarzan soundtrack for an Academy Award. And my, at the time, husband, Trey Parker, who created South Park,
yes.
and Matt Stone were also nominated. And Mark, I can't remember his name, he's a really, really good composer, but he wrote the whole South Park movie soundtrack. And Blame Canada was nominated. And I was heavily into my Trey Parker basketball orgasmo obsession at the time. They're like in love, like printed out pictures on our inkjet printer of Trey Parker and stuck them all up over my wall. Rewatched basketball 1,000 times to the point that I just like anything that's Lazy Boy. We were talking about Lazy Boy and Paris was like, Lazy Boy, which is a quote from basketball, the way this kid says it.
Oh.
He named his basketball Lazy Boy because he cut up his recliner, yada, yada. Phil Collins beat Trey and Matt for the Oscar for Best Original Song.
Wow.
Trey and Matt were, like, in hindsight, so cringy. They showed up dressed like, I'm pretty sure Trey was wearing the J-Lo green Versace dress that, like, plunged, and Matt was wearing a Gwyneth Paltrow dress from the year before. It was, like, pink. They said that, I believe they took mushrooms or LSD before they went.
Oh, so great.
Them on the red carpet are just, like, looking around, and, like, that's who I was madly in love with at the time as a child. But I hated him because he beat them, and then they did a whole episode where they made fun of him because they're petty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I was team Trey and Matt. And then as a grown-up, I was like, but some of these songs fucking slap. And now Phil Collins is some of my favorite running songs, like, because the drums, so good.
If you can't feel it coming in the air tonight, then get the fuck out of here.
So I just want to apologize to Phil Collins for our beef. We're quashing the beef. 2023.
I'm glad that you've come to your senses and now you can appreciate the greatness of Phil Collins and Genesis.
I hope
he is an incredible musician. Well, both before it was used as a name for the saddest creature ever made and after Cox included it in his compendium, the word squonk has enjoyed many different meanings. Frequently, it was used as an onomatopoeia for the sounds of frogs or geese. In one interview in a British newspaper, a man called the act of changing the channel with his television remote squonking, giving the example that he might use.
I'll be sitting watching TV with my wife and say, I'm going to squonk this, darling.
Is that what you were doing last night?
Yeah, I was just squonking. Had the remote, was just getting my squonk on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wouldn't. I mean, we're all entitled to make whatever words up we want. If he wants to tell everybody, I told my wife last night I was going to squonk the telly at work the next day, you can just suffer those consequences with HR. He told me he was squonking late at night after his wife went to bed. He just meant changing channels.
He said that he was going to go squonk in the break room. And I don't know. But then I went in and it was changed from CNN to like TV land, so I'm not really sure what's happening, but there's also like it looks like a giant snail has been in there. It's just all over the floor.
It's fucking terrible. It's like, in there.
Oh, he changed, he was squonking.
He squonked. It was on Golden Girls, which like, okay, I get it, but come on.
Oh, you know Dorothy squonked. Blanche sure as shit squonked. Blanche didn't stop squonking. She stayed squonking.
She low-key squonked. Dorothy was squonking on the low-low.
Yes.
Rose with, squonked.
Rose squonked. She squonked in a...
She killed a man.
Squonk. Rose killed a man?
In the Golden Girls, she squonked a man to death. That's one of my favorite
Golden Girls episodes. She did. And Blanche came to the rescue because Blanche knew what to do because she'd also squonked a man
to death. Like three guys before
that. Sophia was squonking all over Sicily. How can you not squonk with that wicker? The wicker purse is for the squonk.
She was trapping squonks.
Shut up. She was trapping squonks.
There's been squonk messages in media. Now that y'all are leaving this episode soon and going on your merry little way, everywhere you go, you're going to see references to squonks.
Mm-hmm. Or you're going to start squonking yourself.
You start, you can't stop.
No, it's just like Pringles. Once you squonk, you can't stop.
They're like, Pringles was actually sued by squonks for use of that.
Well, if you're planning to look for squonks near you, the compendium has some recommendations on identifying them. A solitary creature, squonks typically only emerge from their underground burrows in the early spring to mate. An average litter for a mama squonk is 3 to 8 baby squonks called squinks. The squinks nurse for a month before heading out on their own. Can you believe it? Squink!
So tiny and squishy.
I gotta get me a squink, y'all.
Just a little squink. We'll keep it in a little fishbowl, a little baby squink fishbowl.
I will turn my entire house into a squonk sanctuary to make them happy. Squonctuary. I need the squinks. I'll have a squinctuary. And then as they grow, it becomes the squonctionary.
I love it. Petal would love it. They can all live together happily. She would be like, they can all cuddle.
I mean, she kind of might take them on as her own. Little squinks, they nurse. Petal's been fixed, but she's got some teats down there. I mean, they don't work, but they could, maybe we can like put a little bottle, tape it to Petal's tummy so they think they're getting little milk.
Like, we'll create just a squonk irrigation system and affix it underneath your 90-100 pound potbelly pig. It'll be great. The squonctuary is totally above board. We promise it's full about conservation, not novelty.
No. I'm not trying to exploit them. I'm trying to celebrate them and preserve them.
And grow the squinks to squonks. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, one thing I probably can't do with my squonctuary is use them as familiars, as one does in witchcraft. The compendium says they're not popular for this because of their appearance, and squonk trails make it impossible to clean up after them. Also, their propensity for munching on magical plants makes them a nuisance.
Yeah.
So I got to keep my magical plants away from the squonks. I think I can make it work. I don't think they have a grotesque appearance. I think they're beautiful. So I welcome a squonk as my familiar. And we got a Roomba. I'll just have it set to follow it around. Hopefully it doesn't suck it up.
God, I was going to say, they make those like, it's like a similar to a Roomba, but it's a shark cleaner, like a steamer. Yeah. To like see, so you can get that. But then I thought, oh God, it gets up behind the squonks and steams the liquid and it sucks it up in there and it's gone.
You know, have you ever seen when like a Roomba goes over like dog poop and then poop just goes all over the floor? It's like that with squonk juice.
You'd be like, it's a wet spot. Did Kate, was it Petal? Was one of the kids?
What happened?
God. They're like, oh God, where's the squonk?
Oh no. Where are the squinks? I lost a whole litter of them.
There's nothing even to bury because it's just absorbed.
No. Yeah. It's right there. Just got to put a cross up in the living room. William Cox, a devoted conservationist and the man responsible for securing the squonk's spot in the lineup of famous North American cryptids, wrote in the introduction to his 1910 book,
"The lumber regions are contracting. Some say that the old type of logger himself is becoming extinct. It is my purpose to preserve at least a description and sketch of some of the interesting animals which he has originated."
We can all help keep these legends alive so that generations to come can hold up an ear among the hemlock groves and listen for the wail of the squonk. If you do hear one, perhaps let it be. These sad yet sweet creatures already have it rough enough. So what do we think?
Well, the squonk itself, I love. I'm glad we were requested to cover this. I think it's a cute legend lore that I'm very glad that weird old stuff lives on. Because mm-hmm. I love it gives us an insight into what people back in 1910, you know, 110, 15 years ago, as we get older and older, you know, what they thought was funny and like humor and the changing, like how humor's changed, how it's evolved. But some stuff like Wang is funny, like bang, Wang, like hard A sounds are funny. Squonk is a funny sound. It's a, yeah. like, so when researching this, I was really interested in the concept of a tall tale in general, because this came out of the lumber regions of northeastern United States. And this group of, you know, some people that come together that are away from their families and maybe bored and sitting around, and that we all like to, I mean, me and you, one of our favorite pastimes is just sitting around together, bullshitting, laughing back yeah. and forth. I mean, that's yeah. some of everybody's favorite things, is sitting around with your friends, joking around, making silly sounds, saying silly stuff. And it's one trait that I think is unites us all and is inherent in humanity is we all like to sit around and tell like a, oh, bullshit, man, I'll tell you something crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what happened to my grandpappy flat bottom back in the woods of Louisiana? You know, people, and maybe it's just also the, I would say, I thought, okay, it's kind of the Southern oral tradition of everybody, but that's not just Southern. It's just humans. I mean, we've had mm-hmm. oral traditions back to Homer and the Odyssey, you know, all the way up till now. So I love that not only does the oral tradition stay and last, and we still learn about tall tales, you know, and I hear my nieces be like, have you ever heard of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox? I'm like, yeah. Oh, have I? Just so you know, they're not real. Don't embarrass yourself in class. Don't ask them what kind of doctor Paul Bunyan goes to or where he gets his clothes. It's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Like that, don't do it.
But it's like a rite of passage to learn these things and to pass them on. And I'm glad that the internet has fallen in love with the squonk. We got to get the same love for the Wapaloosie and the Whirling Wimpus and the Billy Splinter Dad, Cat.
Sniff Snoff, Snollygaster.
The Snollygaster.
The Yim old Yam.
Wind Tosser. There's all kinds of. We're going to look into the Wang and the Bill Dad and all that as well. We'll look into that as well. But I think, yeah, I love that. I love that we covered this, and it's fun to just get a little peek into the what people like silly little poems that people thought were funny back in 1912. Like, I just love that. It makes me feel all nostalgic for comedy. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Come on down to Grandpappy's Slap Shack. Pappy, get yourself out of here.
I just gotta tell him about my sack.
Well, after you're finished, then you tell him to come on down to Big Booty Judy's, because I got my squonk sauce on discount this week.
If you open the door to Pappy Slap Shack and you scream creepy inside, first of all, we might think you're talking about me, because I'm kind of weird. I breathe heavily next to people too close. It's a thing. Anyway, but if you yell creepy, hashtag code creepy, I'll know. I'll give you 10% off. Suck at my slap sack.
If you come on down to Big Booty Judy's and you yell sinister through the door, first of all, I'm going to know you're talking about Pappy, because that motherfucker has been trying to run me out of this swamp since he first set up shop. But I'll also give you 20% off my squonk sauce. That's right, 20%.
Well, when it ain't worth much, taking some price off don't matter, I guess, you insufferable wench. Well, let the people decide. Vote creepy to go to the Slap Shack and sinister to go to Judy's Buffet.
Let us know where you want to go.
Squonk.
Storytelling's been around since the dawn of time, so mm-hmm. it's all it has is evolved, but still, some of them hold up. I hope in 100 years from now, somebody's talking about the squonk, and they're like, a podcast? First of all, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop. That's them asking their brain, what is a podcast? Because we don't have internet, you just ask your brain, and then they tell it that. And then they listen to us, and they're like, oh, wow. And then our story that we told gets retold. Our retelling of a story is retold. You know, it all
over and
cyclical.
Over.
And the then circle of life.
Grandpappy Flatbottom lives again.
Big Booty Judy still has her place, even Slaps. In the future. Yeah.
She's not. Razoo's may have gone out of business by then, but Big Booty Judy's all you can eat buffet with a special squonk drink. You're good.
Squonk sauce.
Squonk sauce. Tribe. Welcome to Judy's. Try the squonk sauce. How can I help y'all? But no, I agree. Yeah. I mean, not to say that like we're going to last forever, but we've put this out there. It's now going to be cataloged on the internet. So yeah, who knows, in generations of like just a bunch of weird millennials like wanted to talk about this sad sack crying lumberjack story. And mm-hmm. I think it's just, it'll be
Gen
another.
Gen X, by the way. Just got to say.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Gen X. I'm the millennial. But you know, But yeah, it's like we all, and it's not just us. I mean, the internet seems to have embraced it. So seeing now that we have old timey newspaper archives, well, I imagine we'll have like old timey internet archives. We do, the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
So having this all preserved, it's cool to see the evolution of the love for these like weird ass stories and weird ass animals. And
Ella loves the squonk, whatever her generation is. Alpha?
I think so.
I don't remember, but she loves it too. So it's already getting passed down, you know?
Exactly. And then the love for the squonk continues. So no need to cry, little buddy. But you know what? If you want to, it's okay. Let it out.
But don't cry because you think you're ugly. Because we're here to say everybody's beautiful. All bodies are beautiful. And you have your place in this world just like everybody else. Take up the space you want to take up. If you want to cry because it makes you feel better, go ahead. But don't cry because you don't like what you see in the mirror. I challenge you, Squonk, to learn to love what you see in the mirror.
Love yourself. Be nice to yourself, Squonk, like you would be to your little squinks.
And you can learn more about my upcoming Squinktuary at squinktuary.com.
We're going to have to go to Resu's and start the paperwork for the nonprofit for the Wallace Brown Squinktuary.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 500 hours of bonus content, like this week's true crime headlines on the Idaho murder updates. Join us on our Q&A this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Time and so much more. For recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show and make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
You can also head to sinisterhood.com to check out some Sinisterhood merch. Just a reminder, all proceeds in May go to benefit the Victims First Fund for those impacted by the Allen Outlet Mall shooting.
You can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description for more fun like topic-based playlist and links to live show tickets at sinisterhood.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. We're on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. And search us on Cameo, where we can do customized, personalized video shout outs. Christy, where are you at online?
I'm on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace. Twitter and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. But, you know, does anybody get on Twitter anymore?
Don't do it. It's wild.
I don't think you should.
When I do get on there, it's MCK versus the world. But most of the time, I'm on Instagram and on TikTok at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Keep it squonky.
Keep it squonky. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout outs. Brittany Christine.
Lizzie Arnett Chin.
Chissa Woodling.
Ashley Davis.
Dodie Rippentrop.
Allie Groves.
Kathleen Garrity Jenkinson.
Paige Harrington.
Ashley Corcoran.
Janelle Torres.
Ivy League Bacon.
It's the only Ivy League school I want to go to.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We love you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.